filed, stamped, indexed, briefed, debriefed, or numbered. My life is my own.
Today's lecture is about outer space. Okay, Gurr, our mission begins now. Let us rain some doom down upon the filthy heads of our doomed enemies.
Yes, my master.
I'm gonna sing the doom song now.
And what the hell was that opening music?
Something Ionic sent me and said, right. Oh, we have to play this for the show.
Is he high?
Yeah.
I gotta sing the
doom
song now!
I thought I was having some kind of flashback or something.
It's pretty funny. How's it going?
Not bad, mate. Not bad. Yourself?
Fantabulastic.
Cool. I assume that's a new word in the dictionary?
Oh, yes. I sent off my application form.
Good stuff. Hey, here's the new word I thought of today.
It's currently not available.
Sorry?
Here's the new word I thought of today.
Yeah.
Hobosexual.
What's that?
Person who only has sex with homeless people. Do you reckon I can get that into the dictionary?
It's currently not available.
Yeah.
Because they're putting in words like chav and podcast and all kinds of modern stuff. I reckon I could make up a word and somehow get it into the dictionary.
Right. So would you say you're a homosexual?
No, hobosexual.
Yeah, you're a homosexual.
I only have sex with homeless people. Something I thought of today coming out of PC World, I don't know why.
Some Baroque music. You can tell it's Baroque because they're using pizzicato.
I was about to say that, yeah.
Yeah. Renaissance period. Nice. Anyway, moving swiftly on, trying to call Mr. TC.
The person who you're trying to reach is currently not available.
And therefore is not available. Good afternoon, sir. Oh, for fuck's sake.
In the meantime, yeah. Any news today?
Things happened in the news.
More at 10. Stay tuned.
Let's just see. No, I mean, the project's nearly there. Not yet completed.
The person who you're trying to reach sake. Is...
I'll give it up.
Yeah, I'll give it up.
Let me send you an IM when they're ready.
Yeah. Technology for capturing 360-degree video.
Cool.
Looks like a new spherical video technology for capturing and presenting full 360-degree screens using 180-degree lens by adaptively predicting the camera's surroundings. Video extrapolation techniques have been proposed in the past, but this is the first time I've heard of an entire hemisphere of video imaging being suggested. The article also talks about a feature film presentation using fully immersive video in the feature. Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, very cool. Could you imagine 360 porn films?
I don't know if I want to.
Yeah.
I don't really want to know who's standing behind the camera jerking off.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure.
The camera's pointed at the hot chick for a reason.
Yeah.
But a 360 degree cinema, that would be pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously not for porn, but... yeah. That
cool
would be
things.
Weird. If you had to sit there and actually crane your neck and look around and look behind you and,
yeah.
You know, if you had screens on every wall, weird.
Yeah, yeah. Would be very interesting.
Yeah.
Do-do-do-do-do-do. I've still got that song in my head.
I reckon there's some kind of subliminal message that Ionix has sent you in
there.
Yeah,
that. Maybe.
Give Ionix money!
Yeah. Must obey. Must obey.
Use PayPal.
Wow.
Whoa.
So, any news about coming down to London or anything?
Yeah, I'm coming down to London.
Oh, God.
That's about all the news I've got.
Yeah. Well, the hotel room is booked.
Good man.
Anyone that's wishing to stay has to give me 40 quid. Because that's how much it is.
Cool. I need to get the details off you. And the location and so on and so forth.
Yeah. That's cool. Mm-hmm. Last Saturday I went to the Freemasons Arms.
Right.
Yeah.
So, Saturday as in a couple of days ago, day before yesterday.
Yeah, a couple of days ago.
Excellent, how was it?
Yeah, it was quite good, had a look around.
Yeah.
It wasn't too bad, you know, it wasn't too scary.
Cool.
It looks like a quite nice pub. Then we went to the Grand Lodge of England. Massive building. Loads of masons, saw lots of masons. They all look very strange, very weird, kind of all the same, kind of suited with a big black, kind of suitcase.
Okay.
Yeah, not much really to say on that note, it's just, yeah, they're not really that scary. It'd be nice to actually either get to actually talk to one of them. Sorry, go on.
What's the conference room that we've got like?
I didn't manage to see it, but it is actually separated from the main pub, and I expect it to be quite large, but I didn't get a chance to see it because the woman said that it was currently being redecorated or some shit like that, so yeah.
Shit.
From the last Virgin Sacrifice.
Oh yeah, you got to get that blood out the fucking carpet, you know, it's not easy.
Yeah, and I've got Debian finally working nicely on my computer.
Good. Is it playing nicely with the USB now?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Got my mouse working, got my keyboard working, USB mounts and everything like that.
Sweet.
I'm donating 2 gigs, 2 hard disks for the project. For our network, which might be christened. What's it going to be christened? Let's see. Where is it?
You know what we should do?
What?
Run a competition.
Hey, buddy.
Hello, how's it going?
Yeah, no.
Hola!
You were right. It was a subliminal virus.
Yeah.
I knew it!
To do with money, though.
Must send naked pictures to Ionix.
I'm just trying to zombify our audience.
Yeah. Yeah, so
how
goes
it? Ah, it's just going alright. You know, life is peachy or whatnot.
Yeah. Yeah, we're just talking about,
So how are things there?
Yeah. Hello.
Hello. Is it working?
Yeah, 1 second.
Oh, hey.
Hello.
Hello.
1 second. Hey. Hello. Oh, man.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello.
Oh, God. Not again.
Not again, no. Damn it.
You're listening to Hello FM.
Yeah. Hello.
That's all we say. 24 hours a day.
Hello.
Hello.
The person who you're trying to reach
is a lesbian.
Fuck it, give me the number.
The person you're trying to reach is a terrorist.
The person who you're trying to reach
is Bin Laden. You know what, fuck it. Skype doesn't take more than one person at a time, at least. I mean, I think it's because you're calling me. When I call people, it works better, but I can't reach you.
You can't reach me?
No, not you. Sorry, I can't reach TC. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
What were we saying? Yeah, we were talking about the... What should we call it? Super global mega link.
I reckon let the listeners decide. Yeah. Let's run a competition or something. We've got a few t-shirts knocking about. Person with the coolest name for it gets a t-shirt.
So,
what do you say? Involve the people.
Super hyper mega global link.
Yeah. Super hyper global
mega
open
mega global.
Mega global.
Super hyper mega global link.
Super hyper mega global link.
Yeah.
Just rolls off the tongue, doesn't it?
Yes, right off the top.
Yeah.
I think it should be longer, though. We need to throw Uber in there somewhere.
Yeah, super, uber, mega, global, elite, interweb.
Super, uber, hyper, global, mega, link.
Yeah. Yeah, why the hell not?
Hello.
Yeah, 1 second, man. The thing is, when you call in, I can't get the conference back in. It just kind of knocks you off, so I'm going to have to call you.
Yeah, that's fine, man.
Okay, 1 second. Hello.
Hello.
Oh, good, this is working. Ah, oh, fuck.
This is working,
Yeah, TC, don't call me. Because it doesn't work that way, I have to call you. I know you're not even listening, but anyway. Yeah, so, getting back to what we were trying to do. Yeah, think of a cool name for what we can call the project. I've already got one guy who's interested in joining. So, yeah.
Cool.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Should be good. Mm. Should be very good.
Very sexy.
Yes. We have our own interweb.
Yeah.
Oh, are we gonna hook up like printer shares?
What, so I can print from your printer in America?
Sure.
Yeah, that's useful.
I'm away from the computer, you want me to get the message?
Yeah. Yeah, do you mind just
Ionic, call me when you get home.
Faxing that back to me. Yeah, just print off some porn on your printer.
My fiance sitting near the computer just staring at it going, what the hell did I just do? I wasn't looking at it. I come home, honey, have you been printing out porn again?
Yeah. Oh, that would be pretty funny.
That would be funny. Roommates are like watching TV, like look over at the printer.
Yeah.
They're like, what the hell? Our computer is possessed by a demon who absolutely adores porn.
Hmm. Well, what do you think we could add to it, Planet?
To what?
The project. Don't know if you heard what we were speaking.
No, it crept out for at least a couple of minutes there. So.
Yeah, just saying we could share network printers.
Right.
Yeah, and I was thinking we could do that, or we could. Like, if you shared a printer, I could print something on yours.
Yeah.
And then print some porn off. So when you get home from work, you'll have nice, lovely, you know, porno there to pick up.
I've got enough porn to last me until the Armageddon, mate.
Oh, right, okay.
He stockpiles it like people stockpile fresh water and canned goods.
I stockpile jazz mags in my basement.
Bomb shelter.
What else could you share other than computers and printers?
Theoretically,
I mean, scanners. Well, yeah, you set up your chairs. But devices.
I could hook my radio scanner up to the sound card.
Yeah.
And find find a channel that's always on and stream it.
Right.
That'd be pretty cool.
Cameras.
Yeah, cameras, that would work.
Yeah, you got your webcam kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think there's only two or three devices that you really could share, so. Yeah.
Don't know what else.
I think it's mainly about the networking.
I'm trying to think of other things in the house that I could network.
Your fridge.
My fridge.
Your microwave.
I could try and network the Robo Sapien with webcam on him so you can control him in real time.
Oh yeah, that'd be cool.
That'd be a hell of a project.
I don't know what planet would do to that.
I'd come home and the robot be fucking the cat.
Yeah. What do you think about that planet? Hello? Planet Lave?
Hello?
Yeah, did you hear what we were saying?
Can't quite make out what you're saying.
Oh, damn. Yeah, just saying that he could hook up his Robo Sapien over the network.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, I don't want to think about what planet would do to it. So you can remotely control it with a webcam, real time.
I'd make it go down the shop, get me 10 fags.
I think there's going to be some limits as to, like, the area that the robot is in.
Oh, fuck it. Stick a Wi-Fi card on the back.
I want the webcam in its eyes so I can navigate the little buster.
Well, I've been working actually on a bazooka mount webcam, making it look like a gun on his shoulder,
wow.
And having that be it. But I was talking more of like a camera pointed at it, so you can see what it's doing.
Oh, okay.
Damn.
Because you know, there's like, Jesus, there's so many different little ways that you can control its movements and things, and then you could watch it chase around, and you could also have like robo view.
Make it like chase your dog. Have a battle with your dog. Yeah.
I come home, I'm like, oh, somebody's using the Robo Sapien, and it's like chasing the cat around. It's gotten in a corner trying to hump it.
It's got it in a headlock.
That'd be hilarious. I come home, the Robo Sapien sitting on the couch watching TV and drinking a beer.
Yeah. And it's like disconnected itself.
I come home, I look at the robot, I'm like, oh, hey, Blow.
Yeah.
Anything good on?
Oh, not much. And I'm like, alright, buddy.
The robot's flipping through the channels. You're like at home watching my TV.
I mean, wouldn't it be so cool if you could just kind of interject your body, your mind into a robot over the internet, and I could physically be there in your flat in Florida in a robot, and I could move my hands around, like my head and stuff. I could look at you. You could talk to me in real time.
Yeah.
That would be fantastic, you know.
Ooh, maybe I could patch audio into the speaker too. So that whoever's controlling the robot
like
can
have
talk
a little
through
soft
it.
Phone.
Yeah. Like I come home, I'm like, hey Belial. The robot's like, how's it going, Josh?
Yeah. Just dropping your dogs.
I know, don't have to remind
it's
me.
It's a dog dropping robot.
Sony's my first dog dropping robot.
Your address is
if you'd like to reach me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, whatever. Just another reason to change identities again.
Yeah.
I like to switch them up, you know, every 4 or 5 years. Acquire
but
another
the
last
thing
name.
Is, you can, but Planet has to.
By law.
Yeah.
By law.
Yeah, just... That's what
I don't even want to know how that came about.
That's what it says on his court order.
That takes a pretty innovative judge.
Yeah.
All right, sir. We could fine you, but instead, I'm going to take away your name and identity and force you to change it every 6 months. You'll never know who you really are again.
Yeah.
It'll become so confusing after years that you won't even remember what your original birth name was.
Yeah. That would be cool.
It's a long
that
story,
would be cool.
You know?
That'd be a pretty harsh punishment, though.
Yeah. Today, you'll be called David.
Yeah, you just get a packet in the mail once a week with a self-addressed stamped envelope, and you're required to put your identification into it, and another one comes, like, an hour later with your new identity.
Right, just trying to call TC. Oh, this isn't going to work. Oh, maybe it will. Hello.
Hello, yes,
this
I'm back.
This might work. Just trying to call TC.
Okay.
Oh man, I think I shouldn't have put that 0 in front of the 7.
Oh, oops.
Yeah, buddy.
Hey.
You're live on Hacker Voice Radio. What have you got to say for yourself?
Hello, I am so happy.
Me love you a long time, $10.
Yeah?
Who are you and who do you work for?
The government. I am from there, just I'm Russian. Yes. Man, this is a bad, bad connection on my phone.
Yeah, you're coming through very crispy.
I think it's where I am, man. I trust definitely see what this sounds like.
You sound like one of those weird drunks that are like, pretty
much.
Don't worry about it, I'll keep up. I'll try and get Scott working in somehow.
Okay, cool. I thought I understood. Anyway.
Yeah, have fun.
Cool. Chat to you later.
See ya.
Bye. Well, that was fun.
Oh, yeah.
What a way to encrypt your voice.
Yeah, right. I'll make it unrecognizable using really, really bad telephone connection.
Yeah. I know, I'll talk underwater.
I'll get so drunk I can't speak straight. That'll work.
Yeah. We should do an episode underwater.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can hold my breath that long, though.
For an hour. I'm actually thinking of purchasing a bicycle.
A bicycle?
Ah, you were telling me.
Because I took my bike to get it repaired, and I spent like 10 quid on the fucking taxi to take me there to the bike shop, and it's in Camden. It's like the kind of like fucking ghetto, like you'd get stabbed for your trainers sort of thing area. And the bike shop was closed, so basically I just left my bike unlocked, leaning against a railing in the centre of Camden, and I went off for a coffee with my girlfriend, and we were there for about an hour. I came back and it was still there. Nobody would steal it because it's so bad.
They're like, nobody. We don't want to steal this piece of crap.
Yeah, I think like I'd come back tomorrow and people are like adding parts to it. In about a week, it'll be have like neons and it like somebody will add a chopper pit to it and shit. Like, leave a little note for me. Dear Belial, we are sorry to see your bike so shit.
We take a deliberate view of making some upgrades.
Yeah, here's some neons, some nice rims. And a sound system.
Yeah, hydraulics.
Yeah, oh, if only. So yeah, I'm thinking of investing in a bike. Because in the long term, it's going to pay off, you know, with all the costs for transport and stuff. And I can pretty much get to where I need to go very quickly without having to rely on smelly, stinky, congested public transport.
Yes.
Yeah, because the public transport has just been a nightmare lately.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, it's been worse and worse for some reason.
Yeah, I don't know why. I'm a little bit removed from the situation.
Yeah.
At least you have public transportation. We don't have public transportation except for like a bus that runs every 2 hours.
Oh, right.
And to get anywhere, you know, that you'd actually want to go, you usually have to transfer.
Right, okay.
Where do you live? Out in the desert?
What's that?
I said, where do you... Yeah, go on.
Where do you live? Out in the desert?
No, I just live in Old Peopleville, Florida.
Okay.
There's plenty of stuff around here. It's just public transportation in this county is not really a priority of any kind.
Right. Oh, well. And Builder UK is reporting that Linus Travaldus is concerned with the Linux production kernel maintenance process might be overly taxing, saying that one of the issues is that I actually worry that Andrew will at some point will be where I was a couple of years ago, overworked and stressed out by just tons of patches. If Andrew burns out, we'll all suffer hugely. They want to make they want to release more kernels more often. He sees bugs as more of a problem rather than patches themselves. His solution is simple. I'd like to release MMs more often, and I'd like MMs to have less of a wild and crappy reputation. Both of these would happen if originators were to test their stuff more carefully. So I guess, you know, they're releasing these new kernels and they're not fully testing them before they go out to the public.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's... Well... Yeah.
Right,
I could see that. Yeah. What's the solution, though? I mean, really? More beta testing?
Yeah, I think that's always the best solution, is more beta testing and then releasing it. Or making the whole beta test system easier, so that once it's been tested, it's much easier to actually upgrade from that beta version to the final.
Yeah.
Which I don't think is too difficult for Linux, because it's a modular system anyway, so...
Yeah, true.
But,
very true.
Yeah, I was thinking about talking about, well... Hello? Okay, well, that crapped out. You still there, buddy? Planet? Hello? Hello? Hola!
Hello?
Hello, sorry about that.
No problem.
I guess it just crept out. Oh, fuck. What was I going to say? Yeah, I was just wondering, you know, we get to talk about the project and see what we could do. Basically, what I'm aiming to do is have a kind of white sheet on creating the cheapest global secure network. Do you see what
right.
I'm aiming for? Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Hello? Oh, fuck. Never mind. Don't know who that called in there. Well, I hang up on them. Right, okay.
A lot of technical difficulties.
Somebody's calling into the call-in number at the moment, if you see
right.
what I mean. So I'm just trying to figure out who it is. Hello, person that's calling in. Can you hear us? I guess not. I've hung up on them.
Okay.
Goodbye. Hello. Hanging up.
Hello.
Bye bye. Okay. Hopefully they won't call again. Not to be evil or anything, but I'm trying to get Ionix back. Dooby dooby doo. So this is the problem with these new fancy systems. Hello.
Hello. Hello. Hello.
You've got some serious.
You've got some serious. Some serious. Some serious. Some serious.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. We got a caller in.
Hey.
On that call-in number, but they've got some serious kind of issues. Turn off your or put a pair of headphones on because there's some serious feedback coming through. If you can hear me, that is. Hello?
Me?
No, not you, the caller that's called in to...
Oh, okay.
Somebody's actually called into our call-in function for the first time ever, but they've got some serious feedback.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely on their end.
Yeah, so I was thinking if we could kind of discuss the new project, what kind of... Like, I don't know if Planet has any ideas what to kind of contribute to it, and I know you can probably come up with some crazy ones, but I was thinking of having it as a kind of a white paper as such, or a working model of making the cheapest virtual private network, open source, like, secure network, out of parts that you can even... you can either acquire, buy for very low amounts, and a working kind of model of that, and then comparing it to something that you would buy as a Microsoft product, and comparing the costs.
Okay.
Mm.
So, like, looking at the prices, like how much it would cost to buy the license for VPN, the server software, and all that kind of stuff, and then looking at how much it costs you to, you know, nick two hard disks, you know, put together a motherboard, some CPUs, or, you know, pull out that old computer out of the cupboard and stick Debian on it or something like that. You know, just comparing and contrasting the actual costs and realizing how open source is flexible and very inexpensive.
Yeah, that sounds like a good project.
Yeah.
Cool. Do we have a minimum spec for this network?
I think the best person to answer that would be Ionix.
Because if you want to keep it cheap, then keep your specs low, obviously.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I mean, in theory, the specs on what you would need to run it are really, really light.
Yeah.
I mean, you could access it through the command line, so you wouldn't even really need to run a GUI.
Yeah.
Cool.
You probably want to. But, I'd say that we're looking at the basic minimum specs for running like a standard Linux distribution.
It'd be like 248. Sorry, 486 megahertz P3. Is that right?
I missed a Pentium 3, are you saying?
Like a Pentium 3, 486.
I think that you could minimum specs, you could probably get away with a 486 processor.
Right.
But I would say, like, for our purposes, minimum specs are looking at a Pentium 1.
Okay. Wow. That's even lower.
I don't think I can afford a Pentium 1.
Oh man, I'll post you one. I've got one.
Wait for garbage day.
I've got one on my. I've actually got one
Stroll
on
up and
my
down
desktop.
The street.
I've actually got one on my desktop. It's a 133 Pentium 1 MMX technology. So I'll post you it in an envelope. You might have to get the wax out of it and realign the pins.
What, have you been using it to pick your ears with?
No. I spilt a candle over it by mistake.
Oh yeah, a candle.
Yeah.
Mmm.
What? How dirty can you get with a candle? God.
There's a weird waxy surface all over it and the pins are bent. Yeah, I know what you've been doing.
Oh yeah, I've been wanking off over a P1.
Hey, look, we all get curious.
God.
Well, you know, we all get lonely as well.
Oh, Intel.
Love you long time.
Yeah, I really don't think that we're looking at like at a minimum hardware spec that's unattainable through cheap or free means, really.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, you know, the more RAM you have, the faster it runs, the better.
Exactly.
I'd say, you know, most likely 64 megs of RAM is going to be like what we're looking at for a recommended minimum, but you could probably even get away with 32 megs.
Yeah. Well, let's say 512 of RAM, maybe about 15 to 20 gigs of hard disk space. Unless, of course, you were going to run like a, you know, you could get really technical with it. You could run like a really slowed down, slim, low speed Linux server and then mount a few window shares to it so that you could have exponential amount of space on it if you wanted to, I guess.
Yeah, you could do that.
Yeah. But basically,
that would
just
be an interesting way. But
I'm gonna build.
That's kind of like creating a bottleneck, though.
Yeah, exactly. But I will be building a dedicated server for it.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, which will probably be about one gigahertz, 512 RAM. So yeah.
Very nice. Very nice. I think my my home server is going to be used for it, as well as some other things.
Okay.
But it'll be able to handle it quite nicely. I don't think I'm going to dedicate the server to it.
All right.
But I may. I don't know.
Okay.
It depends.
I do.
But it's only got 256 megs of RAM right now. But that should still be more than enough.
Yeah. I think I will dedicate a server to it because I don't want people I know people will try and like hit it hard with exploits and shit.
Just oh, you think people are going to actually try and hit these?
Yeah, definitely they'll try and see if they can penetrate it.
Alright, well then I know what I'm going to do. Yeah. And it's not going to be a dedicated server because it's going to serve other things and do other things, but I'm definitely throwing some nasty ass honeypotting up.
Yeah, fair enough.
It's going to be great file names with just long numbers.
Yeah, why the fuck
with
not?
Top secret at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. Alright, that should be fun too. It'll be like an exercise in how to create like a demonically secure.
Yeah.
A demonically obscure and secure server.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean the network between each server will be open and there will practically be no security issues on that. On the actual VPN.
No.
So everybody's free to share and use all the given resources and CPU resources as well. I mean, we could even go crazy and create a cluster using, you know, all the CPU speed on the network to do like mad cracking or something like that. You know, like assign jobs to all the machines and then they all kind of collect in one thing once it's completed. I guess we could do that. You know, there's this. I think it could be taken, you know, quite far.
Yeah, once it's actually up and running, I mean, there's really no end to what we can do with it.
Yeah. So, what do you think, Planet?
Yeah, it sounds pretty cool. Distributed computing kind of idea. We'll have to see, really.
Yeah, definitely. We'll have to get it up and running first.
Yeah, let's get this thing going,
yeah.
And then give it something to do. So.
I say that we start developing our own web spider
for
free pornography.
Yeah, why the fuck not?
The marketability for it alone.
Mm.
You know, just throw up a web page, call it Sex Search. I mean, the advertising is, you know, Jesus, we'd be millionaires in a month.
Yeah, exactly. Why the hell not? Hackers.
And I think we've got some real experts on board.
Oh, yeah. You know, we've got very qualified people here.
Where are they?
Some of the best qualified in the world, I dare say.
Yeah. Oh, you'll never guess what I saw down at Leicester Square on Saturday.
What was that?
The Pakistani version of Ron Jeremy.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It was like a fucking clone.
Wow.
Yeah, amazing.
That's a scary thought.
Yeah. They were filming a Bollywood film.
Oh, I love Bollywood.
Yeah.
Those guys are crazy.
Yeah.
I'm reading the script, I'm not seeing the musical. Where is the musical? There is no musical number, I have no script. You can take your acting and damn it by the many arms of Vishnu. I want to see a music.
Yeah, they had like really kind of like amateur equipment and but a really nice camera actually. I've always been
What were they shooting on?
Looked like 35mm.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I mean, I've always been into film editing and filming, and I did a lot of that in like what do you call it, kind of high school. So it's always been one of my hobbies, and a lot of kind of film projects that I've been involved with and stuff. Actually, I mean, one of my main goals with this is eventually maybe to do like a little, you know, hacking movie sort of thing, and see what we could do, and you know, make it kind of an open source movie. Which just
an open source movie, rock and roll.
Which just seems so insane in the concept, but you know.
Yeah. Still very cool. Very cool.
I've always got these ideas. Every time I go past an interesting location, I think, ooh, that camera angle would be good. And, you know, somebody's coming downstairs, and they look slightly to the left, and then, you know, this type of music plays, and then three beats into the house, somebody walks down a flight of stairs, and something happens, you know. I'm always kind of thinking like that every time I walk down a road or something. Yeah. I guess I'm just insane, but anyway.
No, not really. I've caught myself doing the same sort of thing.
Yeah.
I've worked on a bunch of film projects myself.
Yeah. I'm sure you have.
Had a good time. I know.
I'm sure Planet has as well.
Yeah, but the music I mainly hear in my head is bow, check a wow, check a wow, check a wow, wow.
Actually, the last one I acted in, there was a sex scene at the end, and it was kind of a disturbing sort of film, but at the end of the scene, as I climax, I blow my head off.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
That's some acting chops for you.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to hear
I'm reading this.
Glad to hear
I'm reading the script.
Alive.
I'm like, you want me to do what? So, like, I'm sorry, but I've never been put in a circumstance before where the director's like, yeah, I kind of want you to, like, you know, pretend you're having an orgasm and then kill yourself.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, man, I really don't have much to base this on. How would that look?
Right, any ideas for the 7th, for the conference? Don't know how far you've gotten with your little project there, Planet.
Bits and bobs. There's definitely some research going on my side.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully there should be something on the day.
Right.
So there's a lot of research going in with the project we're doing. Where we're trying to get a PC into a car and make it look nice. So that is going to go through a lot of stages, getting it onto a small motherboard, which is hooked into basically any kind of monitor, and then taking that monitor away, turning the monitor into a touchscreen, and, you know, various stages.
Sure.
I've been doing a fair bit of research with booting from USB keys today in two flavours. Which is Linux through DSL, which is short for Damn Small Linux, not DSL as in ADSL, or SDSL if you like.
Digital subscriber line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've run the packages for that on my laptop.
You have, sorry?
Oh, I was just saying I run the packages for DSL on my laptop.
Right, okay. Yeah, try and look into Popcorn. That's a very good USB bootable operating system.
Cool. Yeah. I'll check it out. And the second flavor is Windows XP,
ooh,
which you all know and love.
Evil.
Which is
good luck
going
that
pretty
one,
well.
Oh, it's going well.
That's
yeah, it seems to be going all right so far.
Well, so it will boot from USB?
Almost.
Really? How the fuck can you get that onto a... How big is the USB? 20 gigs?
The USB is about a 256 meg standard version, and the cut-down version of XP is about 150 meg.
Right.
That's what I'm working with at the moment. Kind of depends how you tailor it.
Yeah.
So, it's almost working, and this is based on, like, a couple of hours research, basically.
Okay, cool. So, well, maybe we could, like, test them side by side, see which one's better, which one's more stable, you know, the Linux one or the XP one, and do some, like, war driving with it, see what we could do.
You see, ideally, you've got a base machine that will take any operating system you plug into it via USB.
Yeah.
So you can plug in all different flavors of your Linux, you can plug in XP, and test them. You know, so you've not got to install it onto the hard disk and then swap the hard disk around or any crap like that.
That
you just jam the operating system up this machine's ass and then run with it.
Sure.
And you'll see how well it works, and if it doesn't work well, you go with something else. So that's what I'm on at the moment.
Are you using a boot floppy to load the USB bootloader? Or are you using the BIOS option?
Just the BIOS option.
Okay, so it's BIOS dependent then?
Yeah, very much so.
Okay.
So what's the system that you're booting it onto?
At the minute I'm running two kind of test rigs, right. And neither of those will be the final hardware.
Okay.
Because the final hardware is still on order.
Oh, right, fair.
So it's just kind of configuring the USB memory keys with an actual operating system on them.
Right.
Once we've got that, and once the hardware comes in, we'll see if they want to mate.
Sure.
And produce something good.
Yeah. And also, just want to say, if everyone that's going to contribute to our network project, would you be able to kind of note down the rough costs that were involved in setting up each machine and everything like that? And maybe this could be a kind of repeating theme for every project, is evaluating the amount of investment that we've had, the financial investment, just so we can either keep a tab on it, or just, you know, say, right, you know, this is how much it actually costs to do something like this, and let's see how much it would cost to do in Windows. I don't know, it's just a crazy idea I was thinking about, maybe because I'm short of money at the moment, but yeah.
No, it's a good point,
yeah.
Mate.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's fine. That sounds like a good, you know, once we accumulate enough data, that'd make a good paper, too.
Exactly, you know, just have a write-up of, yeah, definitely.
Real-world cost-benefit analysis.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The way the hackers do it.
Very cool. I did have a bit of news on the gadget front.
Yeah.
I looked up a few interesting gadgets that I wanted to share that I thought were cool and that every hacker could use.
Yeah.
Okay. The first one is a USB SIM card reader and writer.
Oh, cool.
It just plugs into the USB port of your desktop and laptop. You insert the SIM card, and the GSM SIM card allows you to read, backup, and modify information that you may carry on your SIM card. It allows you to store, read, edit the phone book, the data, and the SMS messaging. This makes it so you don't need a data cable for your phone. You just pop it out, pop it in. It also allows you to copy all of the contents of a SIM card and then to write it to a separate SIM card.
Okay, cool.
Right now the software that it ships with only works on Windows, and the price for it is $30 plus shipping and handling.
Cool, okay.
I just thought that was really neat.
Yeah,
just
definitely.
A tiny little thing pops into the USB. The next one is it's got my vote for worst name for the best gadget, but it's called the Mr. Gadget 1 GB USB 2 Executive Watch.
Right.
And what it is, it's a men's watch that actually works with a mechanical gearing for the timepiece, and there's a little port that flips open on it, also metal, and you plug an adapter in, which then will plug the watch into a computer, allowing you to access the 1 GB of flash storage that's on the watch with the USB 2 data transfer rate.
Cool.
Which I thought was really cool. It's like a gigabyte on your wrist.
Yeah.
Expensive though. Pretty expensive. And the third, which hands down gets my vote for the best USB gadget that I've seen recently, is the Black Dog USB computer, is basically what it is.
Right.
It's a USB-powered computer that has 400 megahertz PVC, Debian Linux, and either 256 or 512 megs of flash RAM.
Cool.
It has biometric authentication and auto-runs an X server when you plug it into a PC. It stores all of the apps that you'd run on its own operating system, and all it does is it forwards that X window and displays it on the Windows box that you plugged into.
Cool.
This company is also offering a prize. They have a contest going on.
Yeah.
As to who can hack it the best or come up with the best hack for it.
Yeah.
The grand prize is $50,000.
Wow. What's the cost of the device?
$200.
$50,000.
You know what? $200 for something like that isn't too bad. You know, you've got a hack station in your pocket. And the best thing about it is that it's USB powered. Everything now is USB powered. You know, you can get a lava lamp that you plug straight into your machine.
Yep.
Through the USB.
Yeah, this little device here, I'm pretty sure that it works on the same sort of thing as the GumSticks computer does.
Yeah.
And that they've developed this, but the idea of just being able to plug it into the computer, no reboot, no nothing, and having your little window come up and having that be your operating system, I think is brilliant.
Yeah, definitely.
The other interesting thing that I found interesting about it is that the only thing that would be logged then would be the X window. When it starts up and when it shuts down in your Linux logs, or your Windows logs, rather. Mm. So everything it would do through it would be done on a virtual network bridge set up through USB networking.
Sure.
I don't know, crazy little toy. Mm. And the fingerprint scanner is pretty cool, too.
Yeah, it does look like it looks very nice. Just as the device, but yeah, it's something I want to play around with if I have the money.
Yeah, definitely. I'm in the same boat with that one.
Yeah, that's why I'm considering buying a new bike. I've run out of money for transportation. Or I could just get I could just get Planet to drive me around with his new fangled
techno car.
It's going to be like Knight Rider.
It will be by the time I'm finished.
Yeah, you should have like strobing lights at the front.
Oh yeah, you should definitely put that on there. Yeah. That's like a real cheap mod, but it's just classic.
I'm just going to have it blast out the Knight Rider theme tune as well.
Theme tune, and you also need to get recordings of Kit.
Yeah.
When he says things and does different things, so like when you turn on your blinkers, it'll like call you Michael and ask you what you're doing or something along those lines. And for God's sake, if you ever decide to make the steering on the thing through the touch panel on the computer, please use Linux.
For the
love of God, use Linux. The last thing you want to do is like have Windows give you a blue screen of death when you're trying to avoid an accident.
Yeah.
That'll be the last blue screen you ever see.
It literally will be the blue screen of death.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or like, you know when your mouse goes funny in Windows, and it just stops for a second, and you can't get it to move? That could happen. You're like trying to divert from hitting over a granny crossing the road, but the fucking thing stopped.
I'm sorry, officer, it wasn't my fault. Windows froze up.
Oh, that's okay then. Don't worry about it.
Well, that happens to me all the time.
Yeah.
Don't plug your steering wheel in via USB.
Yeah.
You say, bibong, bibong.
Yeah. Bibong. Oh, man.
Yeah, that would be cool. Although the other things that you could do is, like, if you had, your main touch screen and then something along the lines of a Palm Pilot for systems control. You could control fuel to oxygen ratios.
Yeah.
You know, the compression ratio within the actual cylinders.
And
you know, you could actually, with adaptive hydraulic suspension, you could raise and lower the car due to the performance characteristics you wanted.
Mm.
That would actually be really, really neat.
Yeah. And, like, of course, the ejector seat would be also a function built into it.
Now, you gotta have the ejector jet pack.
Yeah.
This is all going a bit beyond what I'm able to do at the moment. I'm just trying to get a screen in there.
Yeah.
Well, if you need some help...
I'll definitely need some help with engine performance, wheel, base, rim size,
ejector seat, mounting.
You know, machine guns,
all that. Yeah, what you have to do is press mount, /dev/ ejector seat,
Oh, I was using backslash. Damn it.
No, all you have to do is type eject-dev-seat.
It's all built in the kernel.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we shouldn't worry about machine guns. We should build some rail guns.
Yeah, rail guns. Did you see that project about home-built rail gun? 1,000 volt capacitors that shot a slug at the speed of twice the speed of sound.
Yeah, a Tesla coil to power the freaking thing.
Yeah, it's fucking
crazy. Yeah, I did see that. The thing that I like is each one of the electromagnetic coils in the thing, the timing for it, they built it so it didn't need to use ICC timing.
Yeah.
It didn't need to use digitally driven timing. What they did is they actually hooked up optical sensors so that when the bolt actually passes the sensor, it breaks the ray of light, telling the thing to fire the next coil. So they achieved maximum, efficiency in doing that because they didn't have to electronically tune it. And if the rate of acceleration varied through the barrel, it wouldn't have to be compensated for using a pot.
Mm.
I thought that was really cool. And again, I am a big dweeb.
Well, I think it's just amazing the way the actual thing gains velocity as it travels down the rails, because it gets the charge from the beginning, so it needs an initial thrust of maybe compressed air, and then it just kind of, as it travels down, the magnetic pulse gets stronger and stronger, and eventually it's just shot out at literally the speed of sound, maybe even
faster.
Actually,
if you build it right, and it's much faster than the speed of sound.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
If you build it right, you don't actually need that initial burst to get it moving.
Yeah.
If you make the measurement between how the end of the ferrite rod sits in it, the electromagnetic field is actually great enough to start pulling it.
Mm.
But what that does require is that the initial coil, the timing sequence on it, has a longer timing than the rest of them. And it doesn't shut off before it's got it moving.
Sure.
It doesn't allow for an instant fire.
Yeah.
But when you're dealing with something that can puncture through, 9 foot, 1 foot layers of, steel reinforced concrete.
Sure.
Don't have to really worry about that, I suppose.
No, exactly. But also, the problem is that after one firing, you have to replace the whole rail mount and stuff because all that shit just burns away. Unless it's built with fucking gold-plated stuff, I don't know.
Well, the heat actually damages the barrel after a certain point.
Yeah.
It's not a terribly efficient method, but it is a good method of making something very large go very fast in a very short period of time.
Yeah, in Metal Gear Solid, you had that rail gun thing that was meant to send stealth nuclear slugs across half the globe at any given location silently. I think that's amazing. Unpropelled silent stealth missiles. Wow.
Yeah. That sounds like bad news.
Yeah.
One peaceful application is if you built a very large one of these, it would be a very cost-effective way of launching satellites.
Oh yeah, very true.
Which would be good, because right now the amount of fuel that it takes to do that is really kind of expensive. It's been keeping me from, launching my satellite.
Yeah. I've never been able to launch my satellite. I've tried with compressed water, gas, fire. It still doesn't want to go up.
Yeah, I kicked mine really hard once.
So what do you think, if you were going to launch a satellite, what would you put inside it?
Wow. And I'm working on an unlimited budget here.
Yeah.
I think the first thing that I would do would be a thruster so that it would be able to, maintain itself.
Yeah.
Probably ionization thrusters that get their energy from the solar panels. I'd want it up there for as long as possible.
Yeah.
The next thing is really sophisticated high zoom thermal imagery.
Right, so you can see titties from 1,000 miles.
Well, no, it's not so much about titties, but supposing I, pulled up an apartment building or something.
Yeah.
I'd want to be able to see where everybody in that apartment building is at any given point in time.
Sure.
The next thing would probably be a way to relay link. That satellite, through some of our communication satellites, and try and create as many links with those networks that are out there.
Sure.
Let's see. And I think probably a big old laser.
Yeah. Don't forget the laser. Yeah, I know.
Or a high velocity railgun.
Yeah. I think I know what planet would like. A really big, long, powerful lens.
No, just put some porn mags inside the satellite and a pack of biscuits.
Yeah. And send them straight to Andromeda.
That's it, you know, that's kind
here
of
you
a,
go, buddy.
A welcome package. Enjoy. For aliens.
A pack of biscuits and some tissues.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
A thousand years later, a capsule arrives in the form of meteorite on Earth.
Yeah.
Packed with what seems to be some kind of strange edible substance. And impressed, and metal sheets impressed with moving letters and some images that seem like they may be some alien species mating.
Yeah, they sent us their porn.
It's like foreign exchange students, but with porn.
Yeah,
and aliens.
Intergalactic porn exchange.
So the first human contact with an alien species was made.
Well, that's how the internet got started, so I don't see why, you know, intergalactic communication.
Oh, please, the internet didn't get started for porn.
It did, man. You know, the first ever picture that was sent over the internet was the picture of a naked woman.
No. It started long before that.
Oh, come on. You know it did.
No, it started for academic purposes so that
that people can research.
Could publish things quickly.
Yeah, so people can research.
It was the publishing data. Well, some of that data might have been pornographic, but that's not the point.
Oh.
It was set up as research for scientific research in the United States, so that different universities could share their research quickly with one another, and also as a way to like sort of pre-publish your work.
Yeah,
it was a way of having your peers examine your work and, you know, basically see the validity in it, and also, you know, make suggestions, and to basically share data with other programs that were researching similar things.
Sure.
And then came the Gopher servers, which became kind of personal, where people would post messages and things, and the BBS was born. And then, I don't actually know when the World Wide Web as it is came together, but it had to have been the early 90s.
Late 80s, actually, I think.
Late 80s?
Around
okay.
87, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it started long before the Gopher servers and bulletin boards were formed. That's my opinion.
Well, I know that the first ever image transmitted over the internet was the picture of a naked woman in ASCII.
Well, that doesn't surprise me. Scientists are lonely.
Yeah. I saw a documentary about it, and they were saying, we first did it so that we could take pictures of the enemy. This is a military implementation, and then relay it across the phone networks, and then send it back to a base, and then decrypt the image. And the first test image that they used was the picture of a naked woman. They said, the reason we used that is because she had really good flesh tones.
Yeah.
Oh,
right. Well, you know, that was the military. I can't vouch for them.
Yeah. Ionix, it was ASCII porn. That's what Scobie's saying.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, dot that I.
Yeah.
That's just too much. I don't even see what the point would be.
It will take you like 35 minutes to get half of her down.
I know.
Yeah.
I guess there was a lot of people with some good typing skills with a real lot of time on their hands.
Oh, yeah. And really big phone bills.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Planet, aren't you glad that you can now access unlimited amount of porn before you had to wait for your modem to download it?
It was more exciting back then, though.
Yeah, because you had to wait and you don't know what you've got.
Yeah, you don't know if she's going to be transsexual until the second half of the image loads.
Yeah, because, I mean, before, like now, you can, you know, quickly preview the image or the video before it's even downloaded. You can just stream it very quickly and then close it if you don't like it. Then it was
waiting,
like,
waiting. Yeah. Oh, it's Margaret Thatcher.
Again.
Actually, she's kind of cute.
Weirdo.
Right, okay, so we've just gone over an hour, and I think it's about a time we close things off, unless anyone has any more suggestions, comments, or pornographic material to share.
No, I'm good.
No.
Cool. Okay, let's close off with your fabulous tune that you sent to me, which is...
Yes, what? I love this.
Yeah. Do you want to explain what it is?
Invader Zim is a cartoon that was on for 2 seasons on Nickelodeon TV in the United States. It was drawn by Johan Vasquez, who's the artist who did the comic book Johnny the Homicidal Maniac and Squee.
Yeah.
And so this is a techno remix of the Doom song, which was sung by Gurr, a defective robot that's been assigned to this little alien invader on his long flight to Earth. And so basically, Gurr sings this song for 6 months, and this is a techno remix of it and some other clips from the show.
Cool. Okay, there
some
we go.
Some subliminal messaging in there.
Today's lecture is about outer space. Okay, Gurr, our mission begins now. Let us rain some doom down upon the filthy heads of our doomed enemies.
Yes, my master.
I gotta sing the doom song now. Step one lands smoothly. Alien invasion. How prepared do you think this planet's defenses would be?